Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where Americans long, it seems to me, to come together to find some points of agreement, to find some projects that we can work on together. I think some of that happened just earlier today, with at least a tentative ceasefire announced in the Middle East. Regardless of what side you're on, that's good news. It's good news if people are not at risk of being obliterated by some kind of terrorist rocket or being buried in the rubble after an Israeli airstrike. No, it's not a good idea for people to fight on endlessly if there is some better solution for safety. We will see about this ceasefire and whether it works and maybe even improves the security and the ability to live peacefully in the Middle East. And speaking of the ability to live peacefully and in security, there's another issue where, honestly, I think the American people really do agree. I have yet to find anyone who is so liberal that he or she thinks it's just fine for big cities to have thousands of people camping in public places. And there are various cities that have done some enthusiastic and effective work in getting rid of some of these giant homeless encampments. In Honolulu, I know, which is, of course, a particular magnet to homeless people. I mean, if you were going to be sleeping on the street or sidewalk or in a park somewhere, it's kind of better weather to do that, even with the rain that happens in Hawaii, than, say, in Minnesota in February. In any event, in Honolulu, they used to have a huge, I mean, I saw it, huge homeless encampment in Kaialani Park and Kapiolani Park. And it was cleared away. They can be cleared away, homeless encampments. And this wisdom, and this is why I say it's bringing Americans together, it's penetrated even arguably the most left-wing city in the entire country, Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon, where they think it's really important to have riots every single night for what has it been? It's been more than a year that people have been staging the nightly riots in Portland. But now there's a headline. The headline is Portland to remove homeless encampments more aggressively following COVID-19 pause. Right, blame it on COVID. But it's good news, and this is the way it's covered on ABC News in Portland. Listen.
If you drive on any interstate in the Portland area, you've seen tents on the side of the road.
It's a dangerous place to live, and it's illegal, so why is it allowed?
When I reached out to the Office of Management and Finance, a spokesperson for the Homelessness and Urban Camping Impact Reduction Program tried to explain it to me in several emails, saying in part, if someone experiencing homelessness is living in dangerously close proximity to fast-moving vehicles, we will encourage them to move to a safer location. However, our ability to move encampments and people living in them is incredibly limited due to COVID-19 restrictions. They also stress they're not in charge of people and can't force anyone to do anything. But they are technically in charge of the tents those people live in. So why is this still here? Or this? Just inches from speeding cars, perched dangerously on steep slopes.
And by the way, I hate to say it, but those people who aren't always sober, sorry, they're not. And when you're perched dangerously on steep slopes and you roll in the middle of traffic, you can do a serious damage not only to yourself but to the car that hits you. And it's a nightmare. Aside from which, it makes the heart sink when you drive into a city and you see these encampments everywhere. NBC News also covered this issue in Portland. Listen.
If you've driven through Portland in the past year, it's tough not to notice the increase in homeless campsites, sidewalks and street corners covered with tents in numerous neighborhoods. There's a new plan for dealing with what businesses and residents have been complaining about for months. Starting Monday, the city says it will move more campsites.
I certainly support the council's action to do something.
Dick Clark is the CEO of the Portland Clinic downtown. He says the homelessness is now affecting patients receiving health care.
Because their tents are blocking parking spots, on-street parking spots, and because the garbage sprawls out, and because some of the bodily waste is evident, it's discouraging patients from seeking health care.
So this is not an ideal situation for dealing with a COVID-19 crisis also. Do you think that they follow all masking rules, do they, when they're in their homeless encampment? Here is the NBC News report on the actions taken before and during the pandemic. Listen.
Before the pandemic, the city removed about 50 campsites a week, but that's dropped to an average of 5 a week. From March to July last year, removals stopped altogether while they figured out COVID safety protocols.
I lived on the streets and worked from the streets. In the first week of 2020, I was involved in a sweep where I lost everything except for a backpack I had of everything I brought with me. Because there has to be a better, more humane way.
Raven Drake is now a program manager with Street Root, the newspaper sold by the homeless or formerly homeless.
Houselessness is like a gaping wound that we've been trying to deal with and heal for a long time. And sweeps are putting band-aids on it.
The city's impact reduction program will be in charge of the sweeps. They'll prioritize sites which have 8 or more structures, block sidewalks, or have reports of criminal activity. The new criteria also includes getting rid of those sites where human waste is visible, those determined to be fire hazards, or places with materials like needles. Campers will be given notice and have 2 days to move.
Campers? This reminds me of a story which I will tell to you, but first, the problem as defined, again, NBC News in Portland.
When you're forcibly removing camps just to have them have to exist somewhere, you're just pushing the problem.
The city says you'll continue with outreach, hygiene access, and other services. Kaya Sen with Street Root says investing in social services for mental health is important.
But whenever our city then does this kind of reactive policy, and I would say that's what this is, that really is about making things harder and putting the responsibility on the backs of the poor when it's a systemic issue, I feel very discouraged.
What do you mean putting things on the backs of the poor? Since when did we ever have this idea that you have a right to sleep wherever you want? I mentioned I was telling you a story. I was talking with Jeremy Steiner, Pride of Hillsdale College. And he's a couple of times actually called up the city parks departments in various places and saying, hey, yeah, I'd like to go with my family and would like to do some camping, but we don't want to go to a national park or state park. We want to go right in town. What's the best park for us to put our tent in? And no one has said, well, I'm trying to try Discovery Park. You can try Denny Park downtown where they have a lot of homeless encampments. Nobody has told him, oh, yeah, go ahead, pitch your tent, take your family, have a really nice summer vacation in downtown anywhere, certainly not in downtown Seattle. Now, if they can say to somebody who's trying to be law-abiding, you can't do that, why can't they say to a human being who's in distress, who needs to be off the streets, who needs help, why can't they say, okay, this is not where you are going to get better. This is not what you are entitled to do, because this ruins the city for everybody else. 1-800-955-1776. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is totally, completely inappropriate.
To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Michael Medved Show, just so that people don't think that Portland is such an outlier, that, oh, it couldn't happen like it's happened in Portland, where they they used to clear out 50 homeless camps a week, and now they're down to 5. How many homeless camps are there total in Portland? Because if they're cleaning out 50 a week, they must have 500? Something like that? Now, some of them get very big. We covered this on the air. In April 2nd, there was a headline from Como TV. And the headline said, homeless camps grow near two Seattle schools, students returning. And there was a lot of concern about that because the kids were stepping over needles and feces, and there were all kinds of unpleasant things going on in a large homeless encampment. I remember at that one, that was only going to last for a little while. They had 50 tents, 50, right outside a school. This was a middle school, I believe. Okay, so April 2nd, homeless camps grow near two Seattle school students returning. April 26th, so you're talking about 3 weeks later. Headline, same source, parents worry as homeless camp keeps growing behind Seattle school. And then just 2 days ago, May 18th, Tuesday, new headline, same source. Parents, neighbors concerned about growing homeless encampment on Seattle school property. You ever see the movie The Blob? Is that what we're talking about here? And, I mean, honest to goodness, is there nothing you can do to stop vagrants from camping out around schools where you are sending your kids, where you're sending literally billions of your tax dollars total for public education? This is also from Como, a drug overdose at a homeless encampment on the property of a local school has parents and neighbors asking, when will something be done? Okay, we're going to keep asking. Students have been back in class for in-person learning at Broadway Thompson K-8. Is it K-8? They have kindergartners there. Students have been back for more than 6 weeks in class, and the encampment is only growing. Honest to God, if you can't stop that, this is called law and order. There's a great piece by Daniel Henninger. Let's get him on as usual, Jeremy, because his piece is devastating. There's only going to be one basic issue in these upcoming elections. You know what it is? It's law and order. And there's no more clear violation in law and order than allowing a festering homeless encampment to grow and grow and grow and grow and metastasize and to get worse and worse and worse right next to your child's kindergarten classroom. For God's sake. Bill Steele, who is part of a community group called Neighbors of Broadview Thompson K-8 School, said, I don't know if it's going to wake the school district up, but they have a huge problem down there that they aren't addressing. But I'll say this about a man found lying out in a drug overdose. Let me go to a call to Susan in Spokane, Washington. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Michael. I literally recently fled Seattle because of the lack of law and order. But the reason I'm calling is I'm a former social worker in Seattle, and I think I can shed some light on the mindset that is perpetrating these atrocities in my former city. So I used to work as a counselor at a halfway house, I guess you could call it, a harm reduction facility in the U District in Seattle, which everyone knows is notoriously inhabited by homeless youths. I personally had a lot of fertility problems and multiple miscarriages. And when one of the clients who was at that house got pregnant, my manager insisted that I sit and look at ultrasound pictures with that client. And it was an upsetting thing for me, so I pulled my manager aside and said, you know, I'm not the right person for this right now. And we discussed a number of ideas of what I could do to handle this and still support my client. My point is this. Ultimately, I was given the option to either sit there through multiple ultrasound pictures throughout the pregnancy or be fired. You hear about homeless people overcoming barriers all the time. That's very common language in that industry, and it is an industry. What you never hear about are boundaries for people who are homeless. You hear about the barriers, but apparently the boundaries only apply to people who have homes. I don't know.
Okay,
I
this is so important what you're
saying. There was no respect for anyone surrounding that whole ecosystem of people except for the victim. And that's how they view them.
What you're saying is so important. Now, let me ask you something in the time we have remaining. Now, this was a homeless woman who was expecting. Did she continue to live in a tent or on the street through her pregnancy?
They were able to continue to use drugs, but not at the site. And then I think that they were no longer in tents because they were provided this housing, this subsidized housing, which we were managing, the counselors. And then I think after 3 months, if I memory serves, you could reapply. So they were off the street, had showers, had support, did not have to prove sobriety, anything they wanted, and there were still really no boundaries.
Okay,
and
what happened to the baby? What happened to the baby?
They used it as a kind of like a flop house until I had the courage to require some boundaries where they had to leave the house in the morning and, you know, pursue some kind of class or internship. I got a lot of pushback for that. Again, it just is a culture of victimhood, and it supports their industry is what it does. We have no rights in the views of the social workers. And by the way, I'm a friend of the social worker who was brutally murdered Thanksgiving week in Seattle by her client.
This is amazing. Susan, if you'll drop me a line at some point, I think it's worth talking about this further, because your point about no boundaries here at all and no blame at the same time, no responsibility and no boundaries at all, that's an extremely important point. And please drop us a line and we will be in touch with you again. There's also this from Como TV. The new protest by parents, this comes after a physical fight between two homeless women on Monday, not far from students on the playground. Andrea Suarez, founder of We Heart Seattle, a citizen-funded coalition helping the homeless, was at the camp as the overdose unfolded just after 1:10 p.m. Something must be done. We'll be right back.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A bill combating hate crimes against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders is now a law.
There are simple core values and beliefs that should bring us together as Americans. One of them is standing together against hate, against racism.
The president signing the measure during an event at the White House. Crimes against those in the AAPI community have increased dramatically since the coronavirus emerged from Wuhan, China. Those crimes happening in Democratic-run cities and states. Texas Senator John Cornyn is not a fan of the proposed January 6th commission looking into the storming of the U.S. Capitol. The Republican telling reporters he doesn't see any reason for an outside commission to investigate. Republican lawmakers also wondering why Black Lives Matter protests and Antifa riots are not being looked into. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
On the Michael Medved show, there is this, and a lot of this is taken from a reporter named Kara Kostanich, who I don't know, but she's a reporter for Como TV News here in Seattle. And there's a statement from Seattle Public Schools just released having to do with this drug overdose and the fight with the social workers. And this is all at a homeless encampment with more than 50 tents. And think about that for a moment. You imagine what five tents in a row looks like. Now imagine 10 rows of five tents in a row. And you're talking about a very big homeless encampment. And the statement from Seattle Public Schools Safety and Security Department, the entire piece, by the way, is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Seattle Public Schools released a statement, "We continue to seek a solution, of course, through discussion with community-based organizations. We welcome any assistance that the city could provide. We continue to have additional presence at the school from the Seattle Public School Safety and Security Department." You know, I think it's nice to have additional presence at the school, but wouldn't it be easier if you didn't have to have more cops there because you have permanent neighbors living in their tents and depositing their filth? One of the concluding sentence in her report is the growing encampment remains. And it remains there throughout the month of April. We're almost done with the month of May. The kids have come back to school, and the growing homeless encampment continues to fester. And it's outrageous. It's outrageous. And I hope that Seattle voters can do something about this in the upcoming elections. Look, there's another thing here where people are talking about, okay, they're getting so many benefits they won't work. The idea that you can sleep in public in these encampments among this tremendous proliferation of graffiti, and this is something that has changed dramatically in the city of Seattle and in cities across the country. It's now everywhere. And they've dropped any attempt to try to regulate it or paint over it. One of the things that you find if you research, and I've researched it because I hate graffiti with a tremendous passion. Because if you have any knowledge of what it takes to put up a building, to build a home, to build an office, to build a hotel, to build anything, and then people come along and they trash it to build a freeway. And you come into this beautiful city of Seattle, and it is a beautiful city. The physical location that God has blessed us with is spectacular. And then there's scribbling everywhere. And every once in a while, maybe every twice a year, something like that, they'll make some attempt to paint over it, and it comes back. Okay, there really ought to be a program whereby they arrest these people, find, put up cameras. It can be done if it's given priority. And then as part of the consequences of this kind of vandalism, you have to take responsibility for painting over it. And maybe of your own. Restitution of some kind. But surely something can be done. Rudy Giuliani made wonderful progress on this when he was mayor of New York. Now, he may not be anybody's favorite guy right now, but he got that done. And that was worth it. Okay, speaking of getting things done, I had mentioned before that regarding the ongoing volleying of rockets versus Israeli attempts to wipe out the rocket launchers and the terrorism to which its civilians has been subjected, that there's a characteristic here when you hear all of these voices on the left, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this guy from Wisconsin, Mark Pocan, he's from Madison, Wisconsin. They're all talking about, what's happening to the Palestinians, the sufferings of the Palestinians. There is racism behind this. No, I mean it. And I'm not talking about classical anti-Semitism. I'm talking about the idea that if there is a confrontation between people who are perceived as white of European ancestry and people who are, quote, people of color, that whole idiotic designation, there is a total instinct on the left to sympathize with the people of color. And does that represent some kind of healthy corrective for the racism that plagued this country years ago? No, it doesn't. Because that kind of racism, I mean, particularly Palestinians who have come to the United States, and there are hundreds of thousands of them, frankly, in a place like Chicago, which has a huge Palestinian population, and everywhere. The president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, is Palestinian. And he's done a wonderful job, by the way. He's one of the more exciting figures in Central American politics, for those of us who follow Central American politics. In any event, the point being that the idea that people of color are always blameless, are always oppressed, that the sympathy should be with them, how do you possibly justify the idea that you are going to, without any physical provocation, and there was none, you're going to start launching weapons at Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and Ashdod and Ashkelon and killing people and hitting schools and hitting, you're going to launch a war, but it's not your fault? Because why? Because for people on the left, there is this reflex, and it's sick. It's sick and it's disgusting. Which is that basically, if you have a, quote, history of oppression, which means, as far as the left is concerned, any person of color, then some kind of very harsh reaction is justified. How do you possibly justify the history of terror of Hamas, the history of hatred, the history of oppression of their own people, the history of basically hiding in basements of hospitals, and the continued support from the UN. The United Nations Welfare and Relief Association, it all goes to Gaza and other Palestinian camps. And the Palestinians are by no means the poorest Arab populations, not even the ones in Gaza. The entire thing is crazed. Now, speaking of crazed, there's this. We'll go to it quickly. John Berman and Grace Meng, who is a congresswoman from New York, were astounded that Republicans of Georgia voted against the anti-hate crime bill against Asians in the House. Why? Because it condemned the massage parlor killings. But guess what? The bill that the Republicans voted against specifically correlates the shootings with race-based crime. And there's really no evidence of that. Listen to the discussion. This is clip 4.
There was a resolution in the House to condemn the spa shootings in Georgia in March. And the Georgia Republican delegation largely voted against it. Voted against this opportunity to condemn those shootings in a specific way. Why? I mean, what's going on there?
Which was odd because some of them even expressed condolences the night and the days after the tragedy had happened in Atlanta. Well, this is just one of many steps that we've seen the Republican Party take where they're literally trying to rewrite history, whether it's this, whether it's with the vote on the January 6th commission. They're literally trying to erase and rewrite history.
Okay, this is not rewriting history. Because if you look at that crime and the crazed 21-year-old who perpetrated it, there's no evidence that it was a hate crime. There's no evidence that it had to do with race. But again, this idea of using race to establish victimhood, not healthy. We'll be right back.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all all over the world with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
I haven't done this in a while, but I think, Jeremy, that the story out of North London really deserves one of our Michael Medved multicultural moments. Listen.
Celebration of diversity in action. It's time for toleration.
Listen, what the flower people say.
Tranquility.
Imagine all the people.
And harmony.
Living life in peace.
Here is a Michael Medved multicultural moment.
Okay, we are not alone here in the United States in suffering from multiculturalism and political correctness and absurdity. This is from Channel 18, News 18, also known as The Buzz in London. And it turns out that a non-binary person who goes by the name of Lawrence Putt created a tweet complaining about the greeting that he heard from a train conductor. Lawrence wrote that the conductor greeted the customers by saying, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls." However, the conductor did not include non-binary passengers. Okay, in response to the tweet, London Northeast Railway apologized to the non-binary passenger and said, quote, "Train managers should not be using language like this." Language like, "ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls?" And asked them, they go by the plural pronoun, to provide details of the journey so that they can ensure that it will be inclusive in the future. "I'm really sorry to see this, Lawrence. Our train managers should not be using language like this, and I thank you for bringing it to my attention. Please, could you let me know which service you are on, and I will ensure they remain as inclusive as we always strive to be at the London North Eastern Railway." Okay, this is provoked a great deal of controversy on Twitter, as you can imagine. And one tweet from a member of parliament, Mark Jenkinson, I assume he's a Tory, conservative, says, "You'd be forgiven for thinking this train manager had unleashed a tirade of abuse. Should not be using language like this. He'd actually said, 'Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Identify however you like, but can we stop this nonsense?' Hear, hear." I'm all for that. Let us go, Sid, no longer there. But I'll tell you what is still there, is this news about dropping tests to get into college, to try to determine who among the many, many applicants to colleges and universities would best benefit from the opportunity of attending those colleges and universities. And there's a big piece in the Seattle Times, and it's glowing and it's very positive, all about how the major public universities are no longer requiring scholastic assessment tests or ACT tests or any tests at all. The pandemic made taking these tests practically impossible, but permanently ending testing requirements signals a profound shift in how universities think about how to admit, experts say. "Washington is doing it now, which is terrific," said John Bokenstedt, vice president for enrollment management at Oregon State University and the author of a higher education blog that focuses on data and university policies. "Essentially, the whole West Coast, you don't need standardized tests to apply to public universities." Okay. It may be a big relief for kids not to go through that, but we have a crisis in American colleges right now. It's not just the cost crisis, though it's that too. Part of the difficulty with the cost crisis is when you admit somebody to your school, you're investing in that person. Because there is no university in the country that charges enough tuition to pay for what the university is providing. It's true. They all have to rely upon an endowment, and the endowment grows through charitable giving. And the point being that it is a disaster financially for everybody, including very much the student, if you get admitted to a college and university and you're going to drop out. I'm going to post this. There's a piece done by, and it's done partially by a college survey, and they give all the sources, very well sourced, that shows that 56% of students who get admitted to four-year colleges drop out within 6 years of studying. 30% of students drop out after their first year. College dropouts earn 35% less per year than those who graduate. And guess what? They are much less likely to give to the college or university because they're busy paying off debt and they don't have any kind of increase in salary to do it. Only 5% of students at two-year colleges, meaning community colleges, end up graduating on time. Did you hear that? 95%. So what President Biden is talking about now, this huge expansion of community college, and I love community college. I think it's a great institution. But if we're going to pay for everything for free, do you think that number is going to go up of more than 5% end up graduating on time? This is a real crisis, and what does the crisis have to do with? It has to do with mismatching, with admitting people to colleges and universities, sometimes because you're trying to achieve a more diverse student body, who really aren't capable of handling the work. And it's not so crushing at most public colleges and universities, but it can be tough. And the point is to get into the right college for you. That's why they call it a scholastic assessment test. That's what it's about. And I will tell you that some other kind of assessment would be of a movie. This is a ninth movie of a very long series of films. It is called Spiral from the Book of Saw. And yes, it's about mutilation and torture and serial killing. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
The Saw franchise began way back in 2004, telling gruesome tales about a serial killer who tortures his victims both psychologically and physically before staging their elaborately cruel deaths. Now there's a ninth movie in the series, with Chris Rock as a brash police detective who notices that the mysterious sicko mastermind is now picking off cops. The new movie, opening up in select theaters across the country, is called Spiral.
Whoever did this has another motive, something personal.
It's gonna go sideways fast.
The ridiculous plot tries for mysteries and surprises, but it's mostly silly rather than scary. Despite an earnest performance by Chris Rock, who gives this material more warmth and depth than it deserves. It's rated R, of course, for abundant harsh language and blood-soaked mutilation that is hard to watch. 2 stars for Spiral, also known as Spiral from the Book of Saw. Maybe time to close that book. No, but of course, they're making money on this torture porn, and that's basically what this is. They're making money on it, so they're already planning it. A tenth book of Saw, a tenth Saw derivative. And this film includes a scene of skinning and ripping a tongue out, and it's truly not for family entertainment. Speaking of family entertainment, tomorrow, Zack Snyder, who did 300 and then a bunch of superhero movies, including Justice League, is back with an epic, and it's a zombie epic. It's about the zombie apocalypse of a bunch of zombies who are about to be wiped out by a nuclear weapon, and a heist goes down in Las Vegas, which is about to be wiped out. It's actually called Army of Death. And it's, well, it's surprising. We will review it next time. Plus another movie about Washington insiders, played by Christoph Waltz and Vanessa Redgrave and Annette Bening, and a mysterious murder case involving them. And much more about all of the issues of the day in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.